Our passage this morning comes from Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat and wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full three weeks. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Upaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like flashing torches, and his arms and his legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. And so I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. And then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, and it set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, remember the words that I speak to you and understand them and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the later days, for the vision is for the days yet to come. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and I spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains that have come upon me, I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. And again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said to me, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and take courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. And there is none who contends by my side against these, except Michael, your prince. This is the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. As you may discern from the reading of this passage, we are speaking of things that we don't typically speak of, things that in the world that we don't readily recognize with our senses, things that are only discernible with the help of the Spirit of God, and things that are only revealed by the mercy and the grace of God. And so again, a caution of as we go through this passage, to be humble, to, as Daniel says, and the angel praises him for, to set our hearts to understanding and to humble ourselves before our God. Not only with this passage, but all of passage, but especially in the things that we speak of here. There are indeed wonderful, wonderful things. And as we think about them, we think about the world around us, we're given insight in this passage to, like I said, into a view of the world that isn't readily available to us. And so, one of the things that we see in Scripture that prepares us for things such as this is that from the very beginning of Scripture, a precedent is set. The Bible tells us in the opening verses of Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we know elsewhere, even from the words of Jesus himself, that God is a spirit, a pure and holy spirit. And he is the beginning. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And this is an astonishing foundational truth for understanding this world and life as we live it. And the order is clear. The primacy of the order is God first. Spirit first. And this is not just mere subjective words, and it's not Moses' own personal subjective opinion. This is the objective, absolute truth revealed to Moses by the one absolute, personal God himself. And consequently, the only truth by which this world, which he created, and this life, which he has given, may be rightly understood and lived. And consequently, when the Apostle Paul describes attempts to do otherwise, to understand the world and life apart from God first, that's why he describes it as an exchange of the truth for a lie. And the worshiping of the creature or the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And so, it's that primacy of God first that enables us to understand even these things. And when we hear of our own culture here in the United States being defined as a post-Christian or a secular that is godless culture, what they mean is that for the vast majority of people here in our own nation, God is not first. If he is anywhere at all, he's certainly not first. And he no longer holds this place of primacy in their understanding of the world and how they live. An exchange has been made, you understand. The truth about God for a lie is evidenced by the harmful change in the behaviors and lifestyles that we see in our culture today. And are beginning to hear about tragedies, even now, coming out of these lifestyles. The tragedies of such things as gender manipulation on children, who have now come out of that error, that mistake, or that confusion in understanding, and are facing the mutilation of their bodies. And this is nothing new. And as we survey the book of Daniel, it's clear that neither we nor the Apostle Paul were the first to have noticed such phenomena in culture. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, of course. But as we survey the book of Daniel, Daniel's prayer in chapter 9 that we read just a couple weeks ago is an extremely lengthy confession of how he and his own people, God's people, were guilty of making the same exchange. And how God was merciful and just to have sent them into exile for having done so. And yet neither being born into such a culture in Jerusalem, nor being exiled while a youth into another such culture in Babylon, neither of these things hindered Daniel from setting his heart to understand and from humbling himself before his God. It didn't hinder him from understanding the world around him and how to rightly live his life, faithfully serving both God and the kings of these cultures and the people of these cultures, of the Babylonian Empire and after that, the early kings of the Persian Empire. None of these exchanges hindered Daniel from understanding the world and living rightly in it. And that throughout his entire life. We worry about the change of our culture and what it brings. Well, for you Christians, it doesn't bring any change. And shouldn't hinder you from living, for understanding the world and living your life before God and in the service of the culture. You see, because God is first. God was first in Daniel's life. God remained first even through some of the most difficult circumstances, the impossible circumstances that any human being has ever faced. Tell me my dream or you will die. Pray and we're going to throw you into the lion's den. And even these visions that he's been given of late of wars and desolation and the abomination of desolation and the eradicating of the worship in the temple. All things future, these things that are being revealed to Daniel, disturbing him, leaving him sick. Even now, in the third year of Cyrus, mourning and fasting and praying for understanding. And from his youth, as we see in the scriptures of this book, from his youth, he never stopped searching the scriptures. And he never stopped praying and asking God for understanding, for mercy, for forgiveness, and the fulfillment of the promises that God had made to his people and to him in his word. Thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And true to the prophecy, when the 70 years had been completed for Babylon during that first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, Cyrus made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom The Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And along with that proclamation, he offered whoever the Lord stirred up from among the exiles of Judah to equip them and send them back to do this very work in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And yet, as we come to our text this morning, it is the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Daniel is standing on the river of the Tigris, on the banks of the Tigris River in Babylon, still, where he's been mourning and fasting and praying for 3 weeks, 21 days. Up to the 24th day of the first month of the year, 11 days, you understand, leading up to what would have been the celebration of the Passover at the temple in Jerusalem. And 10 days later, 3 weeks, with the Passover celebration right in the middle, what would have been a Passover celebration. And clearly in connection, his mourning, this fasting, this praying, this not eating of food and wine and not putting on himself, caring for himself by the ointments or lotions that they would put on their skin to protect them from the desert weather and the heat and the sun. 21 days of this, through that period of time, clearly in connection with the work of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem that started 2 years ago. And according to both biblical and non-biblical sources alike, the rebuilding of the temple faced intense opposition from day one, from the inhabitants of Judah, throughout all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia. It's what Ezra, the scribe and priest, tells us in his records. And at some point during that third year of Cyrus, or right in there, this work was brought to a complete stop. The opposition was so fierce, it was stopped completely. And it wouldn't begin again for almost another decade. And the temple itself wouldn't be completed until 14 years later, in 515-16 BC, long after Daniel's death. And Daniel, as in many instances before in his life, was struggling to understand the scriptures, to align them up with what he was seeing with his eyes and hearing with his ears. And that's why we read in verse 2 of our passage, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies or meats or wine entered my mouth, nor do I anoint myself at all for the full three weeks. Until the 24th day of the first month, when he was standing on the banks of the Tigris River, and he looked up and he saw a man. Clearly, not just any man. He saw a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist, his body like a beryl, his face a beryl, this is like a clear shining stone, his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like flashing torches, and his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. If you've ever wondered what an angel dressed for battle looks like, this is it. And it's fearsome. It's very much as John describes the Lord himself in his vision of him in Revelation chapter 1, like one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest, the hairs of his head white like wool, like snow. His eyes were a flaming fire, and his feet were the burnished bronze, refined as if refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And you have to stop for a think and imagine just for a moment what it's going to be like when Christ returns on the clouds with his angels. Hosts of them. Dressed for battle. This was a man whose very presence made those who were with Daniel tremble with fear and flee, even though they could neither see nor hear him. Whose appearance and words alone deprived Daniel of all of his strength and caused him to fall on his face, asleep on the ground, where he would remain unmoved until an angel reached out his hand and touched him and spoke to him, very much in the way that Gabriel spoke to Daniel in chapter 9. O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And fear not, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. And so it would seem that after 21 days, 3 full weeks of setting his heart to understand, humbling himself before God, that Daniel had become fearful that his words might not be being heard. It might not be answered. But as the angel explains, it's not that the prayers have not been heard. They were heard from the very first day. In fact, your words are the very reasons why I've come, says the angel. You're greatly loved. I've come to give you understanding. I've been sent to you now at this time. Fear not, for the first your words are heard, and I'm here to help you understand. And if Daniel was going to understand why it was that it took 21 days, to receive this word from God, he's going to have to understand much more about this world and the life in it than he knows at this point. That not only is there a God in heaven who rules the kingdoms of men and gives to them whomever he pleases, but that there is much more going on. Much more going on and about this world and the events taking place in this world that can be seen with the eyes and touched with the hands. There's a great spiritual conflict taking place between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. Between the princes the archprinces of God, such as Michael and Gabriel, and the prince of the power of darkness at work in this world. And that conflict is guiding, what's coming out of that conflict is what guides everything that happens in this world. Directing the events of this life and this world, as the angel explains, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief priests, the archangels, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the later days. This vision is for the days yet to come. There is a conflict. There is a spiritual battle taking place behind the material world of this and the events of this life. But it's not left up to chance. This angel, perhaps Gabriel, can come and tell Daniel and make him understand what is going to happen, just like he has done throughout all the rest of the book of Daniel. Speaking of rising and falling of kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. And just like he's come to do here, to tell Daniel, explain to him, to help him understand what is, what will happen, is written in the book of truth, you understand, already. What is going to happen to his people in the later days? And the question before us is the try to point to and think about is why. Why? The next words we hear from the angel, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and be courage, and take courage, of good courage. And then a question. Do you know why I have come? Do you understand now? Do we understand with what has been said in this passage and before throughout the book of Daniel, and even knowing what comes next, do we understand why he has come? The battle isn't over. But now I will return to the fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. And there is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince, Daniel, the prince of your people. Do you know why I have come? Yes, he is a man greatly loved by God. Amen. Yes, he was in need of strengthening and encouragement in a bleak time. Yes, amen. He needed help and understanding. He was confused about the scriptures and what was happening to his people and what would happen to his people. And he needed help to understand. Yes, amen. But beyond all of these things, why did the angel come? to help Daniel live. And to have life in this world, in these circumstances, to be strong in the Lord, to be a salt and light in a dark place. To search the Scriptures. To keep searching the Scriptures. To keep praying. Not just for himself, but for his people. To be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. These words that we've come from the New Testament, if you remember them, the words of the Apostle Paul when he discusses this spiritual battle and warfare that is going on in the world and how our war, it's not a war with flesh and blood, but with spiritual powers in the heavenly places. Princes of the darkness. A great conflict raging behind the scenes of the material world and the people in it. Something for which Daniel and we both need, all of God's people need, the full armor of God. That we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes that are always pointing us to this world instead of the world above. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For which the weapons of this world will avail us nothing. The angel came so that Daniel would dress for battle, become aware of the conflict, and stand, be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So let us not miss that. Let us not miss seeing our role in this life, in this conflict that is raging behind it. Let us not lose hope. It sounds in this passage as if this angel is preoccupied and not able to do as he wishes, and he has to wait for help, and maybe he does, but he's not discouraged. He's not discouraged. And the message he brings to Daniel is, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. I'm going to go now and fight with the king, the prince of the king of Persia. When I go, the prince of the Greek Empire is coming next. And Michael's with me. The archangel, Michael. Peace be with you. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. I will tell you what will happen, what will come of your people in the future, in days to come. It's set, it's written in the book of truth, all of it. But that doesn't excuse us from joining the battle. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, what you have revealed here in your word Lord, and at other places in your word, but goes far beyond this creation. It opens to our minds and our eyes, the eyes of our heart, and our a reality that Lord, we often and sinfully fail and suppress. For we know you are the primary reality of this life, of this world, of this creation. Lord, we seldom think of you as we go about our daily business and our daily lives, of what is going on behind this creation and this world. What is taking place, this conflict. Lord, we know that we take nothing away from what our Lord Jesus Christ has revealed to John in Revelation. Here in this vision, Daniel is revealed a vision of a great conflict in progress. And in John Revelation 1, a great conflict that has been won. He is the Alpha and the Omega, who died and was risen. And so, Lord, we take nothing away from that as we pray to you and think about these things in your scriptures. The victory is won, and yet the battle continues. The conflict continues still. And as your apostles tell us in the scriptures, especially John, Lord, we need to be equipped. We need to know about these things, these realities. We need to know the armor that you have given us. We need to be prepared. In all this, Lord, you have given us, you have shown us, it has been in your word, even since before we have even come into this world. Father, we ask your forgiveness for the times that we exchange the truth for a lie. We ask you to keep us mindful and humble before you. Cause us to seek, set our hearts to understanding, and to humble ourselves before you, that we might know these things, that we might understand the world and the things that are going on in the world and have life. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, and for his sake, Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.